The Sword in the Stone by Sir Thomas Malory. Then stood the realm in great jeopardy long while. For every lord that was might of men made him strong, and many weened to have been king. Then Merlin went to the Archbishop of Canterbury, and counseled him for to send all the lords of the realm, and all the gentlemen of arms, that they should go to London, come by Christmas, upon pain of cursing. And for this cause did Jesus, that was born on that night, that he would of his great mercy show some miracle, as he was come to be king of mankind, for to show some miracle who should rightways be king of this realm. So the Archbishop, by the advice of Merlin, sent for all the lords and gentlemen of arms, that they should come by Christmas even unto London, and many of them made clean of their life, that their prayer might be more acceptable unto God. So in the greatest church of London, whether it was Paul's or not, the French book maketh no mention, all the estates were long in the church for to pray. And when matins and the first mass was done, there was seen in the churchyard, against the high altar, a great stone, four square, like unto a marble stone, and in the midst thereof was like an anvil of steel, a foot on high, and therein stuck a fair sword, naked by the point, and letters that were written in gold about the sword, that said thus, "Whoso pulleth out this sword of this stone and anvil is rightwise king born of all England." Then the people marveled and told it to the Archbishop. "I command," said the Archbishop, "that he keep you within your church and pray unto God still, that no man touch the sword till the high mass be all done." So when all masses were done, all the lords went to behold the stone and the sword. And when they saw the scripture, some essayed, such as would have been king, but none might stir the sword nor move it. "He is not here," said the Archbishop, "that shall achieve the sword. But doubt not God will make him known. But this is my counsel," said the Archbishop, "that we let purvey 10 knights, men of good fame, and they to keep this sword." So it was ordained, and then there was made a cry that every man should assay that would for to win the sword. And upon New Year's Day the barons let make a jousts and a tournament, that all knights would joust or tourney there might play, and all this was ordained for to keep the lords and commons together, for the Archbishop trusted that God would make him known that should win the sword. So upon New Year's Day, when service was done, the barons rode into the field, some to joust and some to tourney. And so it happened that Sir Ector, that had great livelihood about London, rode unto the jousts, and with him rode Sir Kay, his son, and young Arthur, that was his nourished brother. And Sir Kay was made knight at All Hallowmas afore. So as they rode to the joustsward, Sir Kay had lost his sword, for he had left it at his father's lodging. And so he prayed young Arthur for to ride for his sword. "I will well," said Arthur, and rode fast after the sword. And when he came home, the lady and all were out to see the jousting. Then was Arthur wroth, and he said to himself, "I will ride to the churchyard and take the sword with me that sticketh in the stone, for my brother Sir Kay shall not be without a sword this day." So when he came to the churchyard, Sir Arthur alit and tied his horse to the stile, and so he went to the tent and found no knights there, for they were at jousting. And so he handled the sword by the handles, and lightly and fiercely pulled it out of the stone, and took his horse and rode his way until he came to his brother Sir Kay and delivered him the sword. As soon as Sir Kay saw the sword, he wist well it was the sword of the stone, and so he rode to his father, Sir Ector, and said, "Sir, lo, here is the sword of the stone, wherefore I must be the king of the land." When Sir Ector beheld the sword, he returned again and came to the church, and there they alit all three, and went into the church. And anon he made Sir Kay to swear upon a book how he came to that sword. "Sir," said Sir Kay, "by my brother Arthur, for he brought it to me." "How gat ye this sword?" said Sir Ector to Arthur. "Sir, I will tell you. When I came home for my brother's sword, I found nobody at home to deliver me his sword. And so I thought my brother Sir Kay should not be swordless. And so I came hither eagerly, and pulled it out of the stone without any pain. "Found ye any knights about this sword?" said Sir Ector. "Nay," said Arthur. "Now," said Sir Ector to Arthur, "I understand ye must be king of this land." "Wherefore I?" said Arthur, "and for what cause?"
"Sir," said Ector, "for God will have it so. For there should never man have drawn out this sword, but he that shall rightways be king of this land. Now let me see whether ye can put the sword there as it was, and pull it out again." "That is no mastery," said Arthur, and so he put it in the stone therewithal. Sir Ector essayed to pull out the sword, and failed. "Now essay," said Sir Ector to Sir Kay, and on he pulled at the sword with all his might, but it would not be. "Now shall ye essay," said Sir Ector to Arthur.
"I will well," said Arthur, and pulled it out easily.
And therewithal Sir Ector knelt down to the earth, and Sir Kay.
"Alas," said Arthur, "my own dear father and brother, why kneel ye to me?"
"Nay, nay, my lord Arthur, it is not so. I was never your father, nor of your blood. But I wot well ye are of a higher blood than I weened ye were." And then Sir Ector told him all, how he was betaken him for to nourish, and by whose commandment, and by Merlin's deliverance. Then Arthur made great duel when he understood that Sir Ector was not his father. "Sir," said Ector unto Arthur, "will ye be my good and gracious lord when ye are a king?"
"Else I were to blame," said Arthur, "for ye are the man in the world that I am most beholden to, and my good lady and mother, your wife, that as well as her own hath fostered me and kept. And if ever it be God's will that I be king as ye say, ye shall desire of me what I may do, and I shall not fail you."
"God forbid I should fail you, sir," said Sir Ector. "I will ask no more of you, but that ye will make my son your foster brother Sir Kay, seneschal of all your lands."
"That will be done," said Arthur, "and more, by the faith of my body, that never man shall have that office but he, while he and I live." Therewithal they went unto the archbishop, and told him how the sword was achieved, and by whom. And on Twelfth Day all the barons came thither, and to assay to take the sword, who that would assay. But there are for them all, there might none take it out but Arthur. Wherefore there were many lords wroth, and said it was a great shame unto them, and all the realm, to be overgoverned with a boy of no high blood born. And so they fell out at that time, that it was put off till Candlemas. And then all the barons should meet there again. But always the 10 knights were ordained to watch the sword, day and night. And so they set a pavilion over the sword and the stone, and 5 always watched. So at Candlemas many more great lords came thither for to have won the sword, but there might none prevail. And right as Arthur did at Christmas, he did at Candlemas, and pulled the sword out easily, whereof the barons were sore aggrieved, and put it off in delay till the high feast of Easter. And as Arthur sped before, so did he at Easter. Yet there were some of the great lords had indignation that Arthur should be king, and put it off in delay to the feast of Pentecost. And at the feast of Pentecost all manner of men essayed to pull at the sword that would essay, but none might prevail but Arthur, and pulled it out before all the lords and commons that were there. Wherefore all the commons cried at once, "We will have Arthur unto our king. We will put him no more in delay, for we all see that it is God's will that he shall be our king, and who that holdeth against it we will slay him." And therewith they all kneeled at once, both rich and poor, and cried, "Arthur, mercy," because they had delayed him so long. And Arthur forgave them, and took the sword between both his hands, and offered it upon the altar where the archbishop was. And so was he made knight of the best man that was there. And so anon was the coronation made. And there was he sworn unto his lords and the commons for to be a true king, to stand with true justice from thenceforth the days of his life.